welcome to the show. It's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here. Let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online. It's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brother Stream Show. Welcome to the Brother Stream Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
How can we hear you? You're in Thailand.
Sorry.
Hello.
This is crazy.
I know. I am in Thailand, but I'm also not in Thailand.
Yeah, that's freaky.
Not entirely.
Not entirely.
Very good. Well, yeah. I am Simon Streep.
I'm Dill Streep.
I'm Andrew.
And you've joined us on a very special night.
It's one of the Master's Affairs.
So this is our travel show special. It might be one of many we'll do. It might be one of the only ones we'll do. But yeah, basically, we recorded this because I am away, as Dylan has alluded to. I am in Thailand. And we thought, we can't leave you
freaky, eh?
Too long.
So weird.
It's almost like I'm here.
Yeah. It's like I'm having an out-of-body experience for Simon.
We can't leave you too long without having a podcast, because otherwise you'll think we've stopped for another year. Like we did last time.
They just came back.
Yeah.
Three episodes and they're done.
So this is a travel special. We'll talk about things relating to travel, you know, go through the motions of how you get ready for travel,
yeah,
where we've been, fun stories from
Simon,
trips.
Simon, you and I have had the luxury of traveling together a couple of times.
That's
sometimes
true.
Abroad, which I'm sure we'll touch upon.
Oh, we shall indeed.
But Andrew hasn't unfortunately traveled with us yet, and no. I think that's purely down to the fact that music travels better than podcasts. And there's been no occasion where we've needed to take this podcast on the road.
Well, on the one occasion where we thought it would be fun to take the podcast ever so slightly on the road, he decided to have a child.
Yeah.
So then we weren't able to.
Well, but I was there in
many
spirit.
Ways, he took a long trip down life's journey. I don't know. That was meant to be poetic. Didn't really work.
Well, look, most poetry is nonsense. So.
That's true. What are you enjoying about Thailand?
Well, I can't get enough of the Thai people. They are...
Safe answer.
So friendly.
And plentiful.
There are so many of Thai people there. I would say the majority of people in Thailand are actually the Thai folk.
Oh, yeah?
I would have thought I'd get there and there'd just be loads of Australians.
Yeah.
But no, it's all mainly Thai people.
The Australians are mainly running the surf shops and the kind of shark dive courses.
Whoa, you've been to Thailand.
Shark dive places?
Yeah.
I was told there weren't sharks in Thailand.
Yeah.
Tell me more about the sharks. Ones.
Loan sharks.
Yeah.
You've got to be careful.
Plenty of loan sharks. Yep. And the rugby team.
Oh, yeah.
They like to kind of holiday in Thailand.
Well, that's good to know.
So my impression of Thailand, this is the only impression I have, is of a beach and a grey sky.
Mm.
Is that right?
No. Where did you get this impression?
I don't know. This is just maybe the documentaries that I've watched have only filmed there when it's been raining.
Well, I think you're right about the beach.
Yeah.
I'd say at least... You know,
half of your impression is correct.
Yeah, all the parts of Thailand on the coast are probably on the beach. Yeah.
What is it like?
Although, having said that, it could almost be anywhere that has a beach and a grey sky. So
I
far,
guess.
You've not been very descriptive.
But that's all I've got. I mean,
well, look, I know I'm currently there, but I'm going to tell you all my stories about Thailand in 3 weeks' time when I'm back.
Okay,
travel special too.
I think for now we need to guide people in travel.
Okay, like
it is. It's round about the Easter time that this is being released. People might have been away or about to go away. And people might come to us thinking, Brother Streep, I need desperately travel advice. So it might be good to just break down section by section. So the motions you go through on a trip. So let's start with packing. So do you guys pack light?
I try to pack light.
How light?
Like a packet of Lay's light. As in, I take a massive suitcase and only fill half of it. No,
that's very good. It's a great joke.
I just, I try to pack light and I think I'm packing light. And then when it comes down to it, I just don't have a very big suitcase. That's
okay.
The problem. It feels, it's all perspective. It feels like I'm really cramming it in.
Yeah.
And like having to do the cartoon style, like pushing down on the clothes, sit on the case and close it. But it just turns out I've got
it's a
smaller
space case.
Yeah. I've got barely any space.
I normally have options because I think at some stage, either myself or my wife bought one of those sort of kabushta dolls, whatever they're called.
The Russian balushka dolls.
Yeah. Of travel bags, though.
Okay.
So it's like the big one, and inside the big one, there's a small one until you get to, you know,
the matchbox.
Yeah. And so I do have options, but also like to try pack light, try use the smallest one, because there's something quite satisfying about, especially if you're going on a plane, being able to take your luggage as hand luggage
Going on an international trip and planning on taking on just hand luggage, are you?
I am indeed.
Well, that's crazy talk.
So for my Thailand trip, and I practiced this the other day. That's right, I practiced packing.
Yeah,
I'm like a mom. I managed to pack everything I needed inside my computer bag, which is over there in the corner, Andrew, if you want to have a look and see.
This is not true or false.
No, this is true.
It's a rucksack. It's a basic rucksack.
Yeah, but I'm genuinely going to pack everything I need in there.
Yeah.
Wow, you are going to stink.
No, well, this is the thing. Everyone just assumes that what I'm going to do is just wear the clothes that are in there and never wash them.
Yeah. Where are you going to wash them?
I'm going to go to a laundromat.
Oh, remember, he drip dries.
I've been to Thailand. It's the one thing they don't have.
Really?
Yeah, the ability to wash anything.
No, that can't be true.
That's how they sell so many clothes there. Why do you think I bought all those Star Wars t-shirts? Necessity.
If you are traveling and you are going to pack light, what I want to know is what is acceptable wearage you can get out of underwear?
Oh.
Well, I think the standard is it's normal backwards and then inverted normal backwards. And then I think
I heard a fun new one.
Yeah, yeah.
Upside down. So you step into the leg holes, but where the waistband then is down, kind of halfway down your thigh. So there's actually nothing covering.
Okay, I've never heard this thing before. So you're saying that you can
get four uses out of one pair.
Four?
Yeah.
See, I think...
I'm not advocating this. I'm just saying this is a thing.
But you personally, what would you advocate?
I would say maybe two.
Two? See, I'm two more the one
beach,
guy.
On a beach holiday, generally going to swim in them.
Oh, that's true.
And then it's like, just wear them for days.
If it's like a scout camp, it's 7 or 8 or maybe even 10 days. But on a beach holiday, 2 or 3.
So here I was thinking I was going to aim for one wear per day. But then
how can you, how are you be taking...
That? Well, underwear isn't exactly... Like, I don't have massive padded underwear.
What do you have? Tiny little underwear that you can like light at the end of it and it burns away in a flourish.
I have normal standard. I mean, you could fit a lot of underwear into a backpack.
Yeah. Does he wear G-strings? Or thongs or something?
I can confirm that he doesn't.
Okay. Because that would be easy to pack.
He wears
maybe
nothing.
Maybe that's what he's going to start doing. Is that like a common thing in Thailand?
What? Thongs?
Just, you know, thongs.
Yeah, but that's because the Australians call their flip-flops thongs.
Why are we...
But you can't travel in just underwear and flip-flops. What are you going to wear? You have to wear clothes too.
I've figured this out.
You're not one of these people who flies internationally in shorts.
Oh, I am going to do that.
No, come on. Of course have some I'm gonna respect. Do that. Where's your dignity?
What do you mean have some respect?
I'm not expecting a three-piece suit, but you know, it's travel. Look smart.
No, I'm going to... Oh, my word. It's the less you wear on the plane, the better.
Not
guys,
true.
We've jumped the gun. Mm. We're now on the plane already.
We're still packing. Okay, so what I...
This whole packing light thing is nonsense, unless it's something that you've learned since Edinburgh. That's right. I'm bringing up Edinburgh. It was 7 years ago.
Yeah.
You had the biggest bag I've ever seen, so big that it didn't fit through the barriers at the tubes where we had to go in and you got stuck.
Okay. In my defense, my bag was also the one that had the majority of the CDs that we assumed we'd be able to sell while we were there.
And my suit.
So
you carried both our suits.
You can shoot me a lot about my bag.
Well,
but it's
because you brought such a big bag.
Mainly your stuff.
Yeah.
No. So back to my Thailand bag. I'm packing 3 pairs of shorts, a pair of
jeans. That's too many pairs of shorts. I don't understand your pack at all.
Then like 4 vests and 1 t-shirt and some underwear, socks, shoes, and I'm good to go. And that can all fit into that bag.
So you haven't packed any long pants. You haven't packed any jerseys.
It's Thailand.
What are you taking socks if you're not taking long pants? At what point do you think you're going to be in like shorts and no t-shirt because it's so lovely, but you still want your socks and shoes?
Because I'm packing my running shoes, so I can do some running.
Okay, it starts to make sense.
Anyway, I think my pack sounds good. Have I left anything out that you think I should be packing?
Toothbrush?
Yeah.
Yeah, but once again, that's really small.
Yeah, but you didn't pack it.
I'll tell you what you're missing.
Yeah, in a bag that size,
the travel pillow.
Would you pack a travel pillow or would you just walk around with it on
your neck?
On your neck. Well, Andrew does that when he gets off his bike.
That's true.
With his very travel bike pillow.
No, I think you'll be okay. I mean, I don't want to say anything that discourages you from actually seeing this through.
Yeah.
Because I think. Also, the thing is, you're traveling with a party of six. So any kind of enjoyment that you think you're going to get from not having to wait for your bag at the end of the trip,
yeah,
is you're just going to be sitting there not waiting for your bag.
Yeah.
You'll still be sitting there.
That's true. We're traveling with our bassist's wife, and she definitely doesn't pack light.
No.
I remember huge bags when we went to places.
And all is, that's going to happen is you are going to have hands free, and you're going to be carrying the bags for them. You're going to be the porter.
So should I deliberately pack Edinburgh heavy again?
Should I
take Brother Streep CDs with me and Dylan's suit?
And my suit. You should just take that bag inside a bigger bag.
Yeah.
It's just rattling around there inside what seems like a bigger packed bag.
All right, that sounds like a plan.
I really struggle with packing because my shoes are enormous.
Why don't you wear your shoes then?
Yeah, because I normally take more than one pair of shoes.
But your shoes are so enormous that they could kind of double as another bag.
I do put things in my shoes when I put them in the bag.
You can get a couple pairs of undies, some socks.
Many. Most of the socks.
Why are you traveling with more than one pair of shoes? And what scenario do you need more than one pair of shoes?
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to Thailand. So sometimes you need, you know, some shoes.
When?
And then other times you need other shoes.
When?
Well,
for what?
Sometimes your shoes need a break.
I feel like that's a good reason if you're a woman. But I feel if you're a man only needs one pair of shoes.
Wow. I mean, this is not calling into, this is getting personal.
They should be flip-flops, ideally.
Yeah.
I've got a problem with packing.
Yeah.
If we're still unpacking.
Yeah.
Never take the rucksack bag that doesn't zip open like from the side, that just opens at the top. I'm talking now the big kind of strap on your back, strap around your waist.
The one that looks like you've strapped on another human.
Yeah, the kind of hiking up Mount Everest looking bag. Yeah. So I've got two of those. One of them is... actually, maybe I shouldn't have mentioned that. Didn't you send out an appeal recently?
Yeah, I was going to say. You could be saving me from going to Thailand with my tiny bag, which you're scorning me for.
Yeah, you can borrow. Well, what I'm about to tell you will make you think, no, I don't want this.
Okay. It
only opens right at the top. Yeah. So you stuff all your clothes down the thing, like almost like packing a chimney full of Santa Clauses. and then it's a weird analogy, but go with it. And if you want to suddenly get to the thing, you know, two-thirds down the way, you got to pull everything out.
No, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
See, at least my tiny backpack has like three very good compartments. Well, I say good. One of them, the zip's sort of broken on, so it's going to be a bit difficult to maneuver. But it'll survive. But I can kind of, you know, put my wallet and iPad, whatever, in the one section. And
I'll give you another word of advice, Simon. Yeah. Even though you're already there and it's all gone fine.
Yes, yeah.
Sometimes you carry odd items in your carry-on luggage.
Yeah.
In these compartments that you mentioned.
Yes.
Again, I go back to Edinburgh and us walking through the very first security thing to get onto the plane, and then them running your bag through a scanner and going, you can't go onto the plane with a big pair of scissors. He just had a full-on pair of scissors.
Why?
Just in his bag.
Well,
the reason?
Once again, I feel like we really did think we were going to sell CDs. And so we needed scissors for cutting, packaging and that kind of thing. And so I thought I'd be able to have it up there. Also, if I felt like hijacking the plane, at least I'll be able to do stabby, stabby, stabby. And at least I'd pack them for the occasion.
Yeah, that's a quick death with a pair of scissors at least.
No, I realized quite quickly that when they pulled the scissors away from me.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh no. This is day one. We've got 2 months of this.
Luckily, they didn't see the rock and, you know, paper I had with me.
I find that at the airport, those machines where you put your bag through and it completely covers it in plastic.
Yeah.
Hilarious. It's almost like, oh no, I can't penetrate this plastic. Yeah. I can't get to the goodies inside.
It's a very strange deterrent.
When you say you find hilarious, are you just sitting there watching people do their bags?
It is also a funny process because, I mean, as the plastic comes out, it makes that kind of like noise. And it's like, you can just imagine all the things in the bags kind of being thrown around as the people... Plastic. I don't know. I think it's funny.
Do you think that the people who run that machine, when the airport's empty, they sit on the on the like machine itself and get wrapped in plastic.
They must do.
It's got to be.
If you did or didn't, I can't remember if you said you did or not, photostat your bum at copyright, then...
Yeah, that is the airport equivalent.
Yeah.
It's that and going through the x-ray machine.
I don't understand why you seem to be, you know, if you... packing like a very innocent pair of scissors, you get told no, you cannot bring scissors with you, but you can bring deodorant, spray deodorant onto local flights. Yeah. I find that a bit weird because you can do quite a bit of damage with that. I can run up to the pilot and just spray it in his eyes and
yeah, do the ice challenge or whatever it is.
Yeah,
you kind of spray against your skin, see how big a burn you can get.
I mean, that's going to take a while, isn't it?
Yeah, they might stop you at some point.
I feel they should ban that.
Ban deodorant. Oh, geez, I'm out. I'm never traveling again. I don't want to be on a stinky plane. You're already in a tiny plane with no oxygen.
Yeah.
Now we've got no deodorant.
Well, when we were filming the Let's Go to London music video,
we're
not at the stage yet of the Brothers Treep where we can just hire out a plane and extras and, you know, film something in the plane. So we have to do things.
Oh, one of those half planes that, that they shoot in sitcoms. Yeah.
We have to do things, you know, very lo-fi, illegally, basically.
Yeah.
So we had to film the bits that you see in the plane in that video actually in the plane before our actual flight. And what's really cool, it's not in the shot that we chose, but in one of the shots, I think, of me that Dylan was filming, if you look closely in the background in one of the takes, just this big bag of luggage falls on this old lady's head.
Wow. Yeah.
So it was a lovely...
We couldn't use that shot because we were laughing too hard.
Yes. Has anyone ever had their luggage, you know, decapitate an old lady?
I feel like, again... You had some luggage fall on you recently. We went to Durban and came back and luggage, overhead luggage had shifted during flight. You opened it up and it was like somewhere else or it fell on someone else or something like that.
That's very possible. All right, so transport. Let's talk about planes for a bit.
Mm.
We're kind of on the plane now if you're traveling. Do you have any advice to get through plane trips?
I would say just be patient.
Okay.
This whole thing of like there's a queue forming... You got to join the queue now, otherwise you won't get your seat.
Yeah.
You will still get your seat.
Yeah.
It's on the ticket. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Why do you want to get on the plane first?
This isn't like movies at Blue Route. where if you, it's like you sit in a certain place, it doesn't mean that like somebody else isn't going to come and tell you that they're actually meant to be there. So people seem to really rush to get on and really rush to get off.
Oh, that
they cannot
that I don't
wait
understand.
To stand up in the aisles of the plane once it's like barely stopped, they just stand there for about half an hour.
And they always ask you so nicely. That's the thing that gets me. They're always like, "Please don't stand up."
Yeah. Yeah.
And without fail, as you say, like the first possible moment, they shoot up and then they just stand there clogging up the aisles.
Yeah.
Like, or in my case, if I've got a window seat, I'm just there basically bent in half.
Doubled over.
Yeah. That's why I don't stand up. I would otherwise, but it's too embarrassing.
But now the one time that this did happen and people started standing up, it was great because 99 times out of 100, they don't then... The stewards don't come and say, please sit down. They just stand up and nobody learns anything. Almost like the people who go through the express tills with too many items and you think... Mm-hmm. Why are you getting away with this? And then there's that one glorious moment where the person behind the cashier goes, you can't have that many items. Go to another queue. It's so hilarious. Anyway, so this one time people stood up because the plane had seemingly stopped. And then they were like, please sit down. We're like miles away from the terminal. We still had to taxi around for ages.
That was great. I think I was there.
Nice.
That might have been the same flight. And this I thought was quite a gamble. Is normally when people are late and you wait for them in the plane, they kind of they do the walk of shame themselves. They go down the aisle like no one really makes a big thing of it, but they 100% announced like welcome our very late passengers that made us wait for this a long amount of time.
Wow. Yeah,
it was very hectic. It was very like name and shame. Kind of moment. It's like that Game of Thrones scene where she walked down the road.
Shame. That'd be great.
I think that my plane tip would be if you're going to utilize the on-screen in-flight entertainment, it's probably worthwhile avoiding movies of a sensitive nature.
Oh, yeah.
So I think, you know, Sully, if I'm going to be flying to Thailand, I don't want to be watching a film where someone has to suddenly land the plane in the Hudson River.
Right. Because yeah. Terrifying.
We're going to be flipping far away from the Hudson River.
Yeah.
So if something does go wrong, that's not going to be good.
You don't want to watch the pilot of Lost.
No. I also don't want to watch The Shallows.
Okay.
Especially now that I found out that there's sharks in the Thailand water.
They're very chilled sharks. And also, you don't see them.
What do you mean they're very chilled sharks?
They're those kind of sharks.
Just take like one limb. It's fine.
Yeah, you know, there's sharks that like don't eat you, like sand sharks.
Okay, right.
Except for that film, Sand Sharks. They definitely eat you. They can also swim through sand.
If people haven't seen The Shallows,
yeah.
This movie is basically a poor man's Life of Pi. Except instead of a boy in a boat with a tiger,
yeah.
It's Blake Lively on a rock with a seagull. That's kind of the whole movie.
Well, don't spoil because I genuinely do still want to see it.
I thought you'd seen it.
No, not yet.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Is
it bad?
It's enjoyable.
Oh, there you go. That's enough
But it
me.
Does have...
Nah, that's enough
It does have the world's worst shark in it.
The world's worst shark?
Yeah, it's like the shark's really bad at making good life decisions.
Worse than Sharkman.
Though this is more realistic than Sharkman.
Sharkman makes some decisions based on the man part of him too. So he's got some quite good decisions for a shark / thing.
I thought you were talking about the graphics.
No. I mean like...
The actual shark.
Okay, I'll say one thing. I don't want to say too many things. If you still want to see this film, I want to see it nicely. But how it all sort of unfolds, the shark element is introduced, is she's swimming, Blake Lively from Gossip Girl. She's swimming and she sort of swims into this whale that has, it's not beached, but it's sort of like still kind of alive, but it's clearly been mangled a bit by the shark that's in the bay at that stage. And for whatever reason, the shark then starts trying to kill Blake Lively. Now, if I've just got a fresh whale that I can be chowing down on, I'd much rather go for the whale. Because it's going to have a hell of a lot more meat than... I mean, Blake Lively is quite a thin woman.
She was pregnant, though, around the time of the film, wasn't she?
She was still...
She's no whale.
She was still, like, very... I mean, she's still very thin.
Okay.
And I think...
Relative to a whale?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, if I was to choose... I was in a situation, even though I've never eaten whale, and I've never eaten Blake Lively.
You might have by now. You're in Thailand.
Yeah. Okay, I might have eaten
whale. If it was a whale or Blubber Lively, it would be...
I definitely would go for the whale.
So you're saying The Shallows is a film about a female surfer gets trapped on a rock and there's a shark. I thought it was a sequel to Shallow Hell, like Meet the Shallows, like his parents.
Sure, there might have been that sort of backstory going down.
Yeah.
I just didn't notice it because I was too busy sort of getting frustrated with this shark trying to chow the smallest thing in the world when it has a whale right there.
Okay.
I don't know how we moved from planes to sharks, but I have a tip for getting on the plane, which is don't go to the wrong airport, which is something I did in Edinburgh, because there are two airports in Edinburgh, and I went to the wrong one, and I only realized that after I'd like wandered around the airport, had a look at it. I got there early, and you know, then I looked at the board. And my flight wasn't there.
When were you in Edinburgh? I didn't know you were in Edinburgh.
This was when I was in school on an exchange program.
Surely the exchange program should have taken you to the right airport.
Well, it was the host family, and I think I had just told them the wrong one because I didn't know that there were two. I was just, take me to the airport. And
this is good advice because I think Bangkok has two airports.
Ooh.
Did you land at the right one? You guys didn't fly into Bangkok.
No, well, that's a thing. We might have flown into Bangkok.
Well, this is getting really twisted now.
I might have to
check about your possible futures.
I might have to check
this is like
my
sliding
documents
doors
to make sure that my flight from Bangkok to Koh Samui is at the same airport that my flight from Chiang Mai to Bangkok is. Otherwise, I'm in big trouble.
True. Do you have a small window of time there?
Probably about
an
hour.
Get from the one to the other in some kind of bullet train.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
I have another question, which is how do we feel about, and this is like asking Jeeves, how do we feel about the air hostess and air host being funny on the PA system?
You're talking about Mango flights. Is it Mango or is it Kalula?
I mean, it's mainly Kalula, but it's a couple of airlines.
How funny.
Well, when they're doing the, I mean, not like stand-up comedian funny,
But when
I've heard the pilot say a couple of funny things.
I've never heard the pilot say funny things. I've only ever heard them say, you know, oxygen masks will drop from the ceiling, and when you stop screaming, please put them on your face and whatever.
Okay.
Like
that's
little
not funny.
Jokes like that.
That's terrifying.
But this is what they do on the flights.
No, but I'm saying I don't think they were trying to be funny.
No, they were.
You've taken a very macabre moment and decided that it's quite funny.
Yeah, I mean, trying to be funny is when you're halfway through the flight and they make the masks fall.
Yeah.
And go, hey, everyone. Kidding, April Fools. Thanks for flying, Kalila.
I mean, the whole plane seems to laugh and enjoy the jokes. And I guess I have chuckled in the past, but I don't know. It just seems a little off.
I got a question about this whole waiting in the airport thing.
Yeah.
When will they make that process actually enjoyable? Because I've been to some of these airports that boast that they're like really, really good airports. And that's not that's not me going, ooh. That's genuinely like the Dubai airport apparently is meant to be one of the best. And it's still just a massive place with the same shops over and over again and nowhere to sleep.
It's like, yeah. Like, look, right now, all I want is a shower and some shut-eye. I don't care that you have a massive Toblerone.
yeah, exactly.
Unless you can
no
you
amount
make
of
a big
giant
enough Toblerone
is going to make this better.
Yeah.
Pick your own joke there.
Sorry.
Which one will Simon fade out?
Who knows? I might keep them both in and have to rewind.
You can just put your own one over it. Ha ha ha. Yeah, because I've been on layovers that are like 8 hours, and you'd think that they'd make an airport more enjoyable for those who are staying there for 8 hours, but in actual fact they just have announcements every 10 seconds. Nowhere to sleep and fluorescent lighting that is so bright that you can never tell what time of day it actually is.
Yeah.
You look out the windows and it's like, I'm sure it's 4 in the morning, and yet I feel like, you know, it's not that time.
The only time I've had a long layover is in Qatar. And I just the only thing I really remember from that is there's just a lot of coughing. Yeah. I don't know what everyone had been up to before going to the airport, but there was a hang of a lot of coughing, clearing of throats, general spitting.
It's the fake air in airports and airplanes.
Yeah.
It's like alien or something. You're like you're quarantined. From the time they put you in a plane, you don't actually have actual air until you're back in your own country.
Maybe it's just to make you miss home. Now, if you're not traveling by air, you could be traveling by train or you could be traveling by car.
Mm.
And in those situations, it's not normally an in-flight
magazine.
Yeah. So do you guys have any like travel games, any like go-to games for the car? Or
I used to do I Spy. I think that was the kind of the main one. Or there was the one where you got a point every time you saw a car of your certain color. And the person who picked white just always won.
I quite like that game that you used to have when we were younger, whereas if you saw a Volkswagen Beetle, you just got to punch someone.
Yeah, punch buggy.
Punch buggy.
Yeah. We need to bring that back. That was a good game. That was a solid game. It had like...
But that was the old school Beetle as well.
Yeah.
So that would be a good game now because you really don't see them that often.
Yeah.
So it would like freak the other guy out.
He wouldn't be expecting it.
He's like, last time I got hit from one of these was 7 years ago.
Remind me, like, could you play that game? Like, was everyone that was sort of in your vicinity playing? It wasn't like you could just see it.
You had to be in the car. You had to be driving around.
It wasn't like if you punch someone, they would go, what is this? I've never heard of this concept.
No, I more mean like if I saw one now this week and then saw you again on Monday and came to just punch you.
No, it expires once it's out of your field of vision.
It's instant.
That's helpful to know.
You can't store them up. There's no punch buggy cash.
Did you guys know the game Power Lines?
No.
So this is a fun one that I was introduced to where somebody in the car yells power lines and everyone, including the driver, has to touch the roof with both hands and say power lines.
Okay.
Which is particularly, it's only actually fun when you're getting the driver.
Yeah.
And by getting the driver, I do genuinely mean trying to catch him at a time when taking his hands off the wheel would be dangerous. Because otherwise it's not that fun if he's parked or just driving down, you know, a straight road. So like in the middle of a turn or whatever, you yell out power lines and everyone has to power lines and the car veers off. That's quite fun.
There's also car cricket. Have you ever played car cricket?
No, explain.
So the idea...
Is that for like giants like you, where you actually pick up cars and bowl them at each other?
Oh, it's much more boring. You're driving along, let's say on the motorway, and so similar to Punch Buggy, it's kind of the cars that come by you, but I think it's the last number on the number plate.
Mm.
You add to your score as if you're scoring runs every time. And then I think if you get
a six...
you pick
a certain kind of car.
No. It's just every car that goes past.
But so everyone's getting the same score?
No. So I think once you get...
it's a terrible game.
I think it's six and out.
So you're all batting at the same time?
No. So
how does this work,
Andrew? Who's bowling?
So no, the cars are bowling and you're scoring runs off their number plate.
Who? Who's you?
The people in the car.
So everyone in the car is getting the same runs?
One by one. Because when you get a six, you're out.
What about new number plates that don't have numbers? They just have names.
I think... The game wasn't invented then.
You suddenly have to get a graph out and work it out according to its place in the alphabet.
What do you mean six and you're out? So no one can score more than six?
I don't know. No. You
that's a boring thing. Oh, you got six? Okay, now you got six. Now you got six.
Yes, yeah. Well,
no, you I got mean, six.
Yes, well,
now then. You got six.
Okay. Yeah.
Why is this car so full of people?
Listen, I didn't say it was a good game.
It's a terrible game.
It's horrible.
I like I Spy. Well, what about I Hear With My Little Ear? Can anyone ever do that one?
I don't think I remember that one. With I Spy, like,
it's usually car noises.
How long did it when you were a kid? I hear mom going, I don't want to play this game with you anymore.
Yeah. Let's play the silent game. Definitely played that.
Oh man, I won that so many times.
Yeah.
When you were a kid with I Spy, like, at what time did you do the inevitable, like, letter and it was just your name and you were spying yourself?
I don't remember ever doing that, actually.
Oh, gotta be more tricksy, guys. Gotta be more tricksy. Well, let's quickly, before we move on, we did put out a request for some travel tips online, and we did get some people responding. So I think it's only fair that we go through some of these travel tips that were left for us. So George Cookman Robinson says, always, always check the dates in your passport stamps when entering a foreign country.
Yep, that's true. I mean, I don't know exactly what he means, but I'll just go, I'll go off that with another story.
Yeah, go for it.
My dad was going to Thailand.
Yeah.
And checked his passport like 3 or 4 days before and realized it had expired.
Oh, wow.
That's like panic mode.
Yes.
And, you know, big up to the Home Affairs in South Africa.
Wow,
they got him a little temporary emergency one.
That's amazing. Yeah. I would have just gotten my fine liner out. Just added an extra little number.
Yeah.
Oh, this is valid till 217,000.
That'd be lovely.
Kim Barton Lancaster.
Mm. Oh, another thing on the passport stamps. Yeah. What's frustrating is when you've been to a number of places, so you have these like almost quite a full stamp book.
Yeah.
Like you could imagine as the cover of a blog of like, I travel. And then this like person's passport. When you get a new one, they're all lost. They burn it up. They get rid of it.
Yeah, and
suddenly
when
you have
they
to
do
start
that
from scratch.
The memories of the travel, they fade as well.
Yeah.
So you can't remember.
They live forever on my Instagram feed.
Yeah. I don't know where I've been. I travel. Anymore. Don't know anything. All right, Kim Barton Lancaster says the blue lit doors in Amsterdam are trannies. Wouldn't want anyone learning that the hard way.
The blue lit doors in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're trannies.
It sounds like someone learned it the hard way.
It's almost like a game show.
I mean,
what's behind door number one?
Why is this a color-coded thing? I mean, can't we just have a sign saying trannies this way?
Yeah, it would be more helpful.
It sounds like maybe it's a thing that hasn't really had as much success as the normal red light district.
Yeah.
And so they're going for the no sign, learn the hard way.
The blue door. I mean, don't police stations have blue doors? I feel like the police are kind of blue. You could get confused.
Are you calling all police trannies? You heard it here.
Retract my statement.
I feel like if you do need the police in Amsterdam and you go through one of these blue doors, I think the trannies would probably help you. I think, and what's good about getting a tranny to help you, especially if it's a man who's dressed as a woman, is that they're going to have probably the physical abilities of a man.
Right.
And so if you're in trouble and there's like some baddies chasing you.
The common sense of a woman.
Yeah. Oh, my word. It's the ultimate. So so if you're in trouble and they're baddies with you, they're going to go like, oh, this woman's not going to be able to protect that guy.
Yeah.
Booyah. Loads of muscles.
Yeah.
Beating the baddie up. And so, yeah, I think we've discovered, Kim, thank you very much. All policemen should be trannies. All right. Stephanie Precious says, make sure you're looking at the correct country's underground map. Apparently, Lisbon's and Barcelona's aren't the same.
This sounds like Andrew and the two airports again.
Yeah.
You're trying to use the French underground in London.
I really was.
Okay, this isn't the way to the Louvre.
All I wanted to see was the Lisa.
Side note, remember that time we talked about croissants?
Yeah.
And I was saying how one should probably pronounce them in the correct dialect, yeah. Like croissant. A couple of weeks ago, you brought up... cul-de-sac, sorry, that's not what you brought up. You did bring up cul-de-sacs, but it made me start thinking about camembert.
Yeah.
Nobody says camembert.
It's true.
So why don't we say croissant?
Well, because we don't want to sound like the person that says croissant.
I'm still not sure that the French say croissant.
Of course they do.
I'll have to find a Frenchman to
they
prove it.
They say croissant.
Gets worse and worse each time. All right. Claire Kerr, who some of you might know as Andrew's wife.
Close to home.
She wrote, don't take laxatives and sleeping tablets at the same time.
Oh, my word.
Kerr.
Explain.
There must be a story there.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Claire did, in her defense, write, not from personal experience. So we can only assume it's from Andrew's experience.
No, it's personal. It's the family's personal experience, okay. Not from the family's personal experience.
Well...
So is the math here that you take the laxatives so everything's kind of loose and ready to go,
yeah.
And then the sleeping pill puts you out so you're not consciously aware that you're about to do it.
Yeah.
And so it just happens.
Definitely don't go to Planet Terror from 3 weeks ago's podcast. Why are you doing that?
I have a feeling that it's just a mistake that you meant to take... I don't know, whatever both of the opposites are, an Imodium and a Red Bull tablet.
Right.
You know, to keep you going, to watch all of the films on the plane.
I want to see the whole of The Shallows.
So apparently if you watch The Wolf of Wall Street on a United Arab Emirates flight,
yeah.
Where they cut out the profanity, it's only 19 minutes long.
Very confusing.
Yeah. Sell me this pencil. Here, done. Credit.
We'll come back to people's comments later. We've arrived at our destinations.
Mm-hmm.
We've arrived at our accommodation, the hotel. Any hotel tips, thoughts?
It's nice to go to a place where there's a fan when you're in a hot area.
Yes, I can imagine so.
You want a fan or... Better yet, air conditioning. Yeah. That'd be good.
Big time.
I imagine you've been looking for places with fans and or air conditioning.
Yes, definitely. Brother Street fans
and
air
conditioning. Sometimes you get the both. Yeah, well, you can sell them some of those CDs. that's a big one. And then, no. No other advice than that.
Oh, I've got something that I want to know about hotel rooms.
Yeah.
Why in some of them, and I've only had this happen once, why do they have beds that are higher than a bed should ever be?
What?
The beds should be like a normal height, right? Where you just sort of...
Are they up on bricks?
No, it's not. They're not up on bricks, but the one that I went to once, you kind of had to really jump to get onto it.
This sounds like my hotels.
Sounds quite fun.
No, I think it's. Isn't it more classy to kind of descend from your bed?
But why? I just don't understand it. Like it's more impractical. If you fall out of your bed, you've fallen for a further distance.
You can't fall out though. The blanket is wrapped so tight.
Yeah.
It's impossible to move.
You can barely get into beds in hotels. Really, It's like they don't want you in the bed.
Yeah.
They would prefer it if it was made the whole time. It must be actually quite crappy to be the person that has to make the bed in the morning, because that must take a solid hour.
Yeah.
You get pretty good at it if that's your thing. It's like origami.
Because if you're bad at it, you get trapped inside.
It does look like origami.
Yeah.
I just don't see any point in being like 6 meters up in the air when you sleep. I don't know. Are you gaining oxygen? Is the oxygen air cleaner up there?
It should be thinner.
Yeah.
Especially if you're like near the top of a hotel.
Yeah.
One of these tall ones.
What makes it fancier, Kerr? You seem to think it's like something you'd want.
Yeah, I think it's grander. You know, when I think of those enormous four-poster beds, I assume that they're also kind of higher. You know, you can survey your tiny apartment. You can see the bar fridge. You can see the toilets.
You can see the bar fridge, but you're not going in there.
No. But you can see it.
Yeah. There's only one thing that makes a hotel bed fancy, and that's the little mint on the pillow. Oof. If you've got a mint on the pillow, you're staying in the Ritz.
Pro tip, if you don't have air conditioning, just open the bar fridge and don't take anything out.
Yeah, that can work.
Yeah, to say doing them a favor. Well, we thought we'd defrost the fridge while we were here.
Actually, I've got a genuine tip for you. Yeah. A lot of these places with aircon, the aircon only works when you bring the key home that's got a little card attached to it that you slot into a thing on the wall.
Yeah.
And that way the aircon won't be on all day and charge the place the electricity. Yeah. Bring your own little piece of card, okay. Slip that in, aircon on all day.
Oh, wow. That's very good.
That's great.
Yeah.
My wife is sort of, she got advice saying that she should, for Thailand specifically, take anti-mosquito
medication.
Stuff. Not medication, but...
Spray?
Spray, yeah. That has this ingredient called DEET in it. And we've been recently researching this ingredient. And apparently... It's like, it's so bad that anti-mosquito sprays are advertising that they don't have it in.
Oh, wow.
It's gotten to that stage. It's like the tartrazine of mosquito sprays. It's like, don't go for DEET because so apparently everything will fall out. Like
you have to go shopping in the past to find this stuff.
Yeah. Which should be easy. This podcast is technically happening in the past. So what is like the best place you've been to? Well, we know for Dylan's Sedgefield. He's been to Thailand, he's been to Edinburgh, he's been to London. Still probably going to be Sedgefield.
I've got two places. Sedgefield is one, but one and two, it's close.
All right.
Disney World.
Okay.
I thought between Sedgefield and Disney World, both entertaining.
Yeah.
Both street parades, except for Sedgefield, they don't have one.
Both have a market, except for Disney World.
I feel like Disney World's a good place to go, you know, especially... I was there when I was 8, and just to recap, I did not pee my pants. That was part of a game. And I saw what turned out to be one of the very first kind of 3D films.
Okay.
Which was really cool, and it was a Muppets thing too.
Oh, that's so extra cool.
Thought you'd like that. And I do remember distinctively turning to my folks and going, this guy is talking to me.
Yeah.
Because he was, you know, it was this little bug character and he was like the narrator of this show. And he was obviously right up in my face because of the 3D. Yeah. And I was looking at people next to me going, that's so unlucky. They didn't sit in the right seat. This guy's like literally right up in my face. I've got the best seat in the house.
Do you still feel that way when you watch 3D movies today?
Yeah, I do. The magic of 3D.
You're sitting there going, oh, geez, Simon got the worst seat here for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay, so Disney World, that's a good place to go. Kerr, where have you been that special in your heart?
Well, I mean, there are a few places that spring to mind, but Mozambique was particularly lovely.
Okay.
Especially on the way there.
Because you learned another rap song.
Yeah, well, we were in a taxi with a number of chickens, which was quite exciting for a while. And then the chickens got off.
Why was it exciting, though? Why was it exciting?
I've never been in a car with a chicken before.
But were you thinking, if I get peckish?
Just the KFC snack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't because we didn't have the means to cook them on the taxi.
Okay, fair enough. Look at you, Mr. Fancy. I like my chicken cooked.
That would have been Mozambique.
But Mozambique was like, it was amazing. Although, at the end of the trip, there were two guys who were part of our party who decided that they weren't going to go back with us. They were going to carry on north. Okay. Mm. We were like, okay, cool. Have a good time. We've had a great time. It's been amazing. And then we saw their photos afterwards, and it was just like where the beach where we were was really nice, but the water was like it looked like a beach in Cape Town.
Yeah.
They were just these pristine blue, like it looked like
postcard
just drinking
stuff.
Absolute postcard.
Yeah,
and we're like, oh, why didn't they tell us about that?
What they probably did is just took a photo of a postcard and then
maybe
showed it to you.
Well, it worked. I'm bloody jealous.
Well, there's this weird thing. So I've been to Zambia and Zambia and Zimbabwe are kind of on both sides of the
alphabet.
When did you go to Zambia?
A while back. But they're on the both sides of the... Is it Niagara Falls? Is that the right one?
No.
You tell us. You went to
Victoria
Zambia.
Falls. Sorry, Victoria Falls. And
they're on either side, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the one's on the one side, the one's on the other side.
Look, we could do this all day.
Look, I know. It was very helpful that you gave me the right falls. That was very helpful. But since then, you've been just delaying what is a very minimal anecdote about the...
I've been there too.
Victoria Falls. And the problem is like both countries seem to have this sort of war at which side of the falls is better.
Yeah.
So you chat to anyone from Zambia and they're like, no, you want to, even though it's not technically, I think, accessible on their side, like, no, our side's better. Mm. Like you get to see, as Andrew would like to say, behind the curtain. But then you chat to Zimbabwe and like, no, like they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So we had to have sort of, I think they should just, one of them should get to have it. And then the other one can think of something else that they can claim
is not a big thing. The part actually in the water, in the falls, is the best of both worlds.
Yeah, where they bungee jump from. Maybe that's the best bit of the falls.
Maybe. Well, you said you've been, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Did you bungee jump from there?
I did. And then...
False.
No, it's true. And then there was that story like a couple of months later that the woman bungee jumped there and the rope snapped and she survived. But like... It's kind of hectic because there are crocs in the water.
She survived, but she was eaten by crocodiles.
Yeah. No, she wasn't. She was fine.
Did you think at any stage while you were there of going down in a barrel? Because that was a big thing.
Why was that a big thing? That seems like it should be a small thing. Like this is like immediately.
Yeah.
No, I'm not doing that.
That one was at, I think, the Niagara Falls and not the Victoria Falls. But just people, they used to actually have a sign up, I think, that used to say, you know, don't go down this place in a barrel.
They had to put a sign.
Yeah, I think so. Wow. People would climb into a barrel and just try to go down the falls. And I think the first person to actually successfully do it was a woman. But we don't know if they were a tranny. So... We can't confirm or deny whether trannies are more likely to survive that kind of a fall.
Kind of miss the barrel for clothing look. You know, the barrel with two straps over the shoulders.
Yeah.
They should bring that back.
It's quite very hard look. To pack.
Yeah, it's true.
Before we wrap things up with some more travel tips from the interwebs that were sent in, food. Obviously, we get to experience South African food where we live, but when we travel,
yum.
We get to eat other things. Someone recently was down here visiting, and for a very long time, they thought that biltong was bull's tongue. That's what they thought people were saying.
Okay.
And it's obviously not that.
It's not that, but I can kind of see how one might think that.
Yeah. I think it's a fair game to them.
Yeah.
Have you eaten anything in your travels that you perhaps shouldn't have or did really like that you want to be available here?
I know that I might have spoken about this in the past on a podcast, but I had the world's hottest curry in Thailand.
Wow.
And it was just terrifyingly hot.
Was it advertised as the world's hottest curry?
No, it wasn't. That was what was weird about it.
The world's mildest curry.
It had obviously just been sitting there stewing and getting hotter and hotter as the hours went by or something like that. But this thing put me out of action for a couple of days. I was, it was grim.
Third degree burns.
Third degree burns, along the old canal. So if you are in Thailand, which you are, just stay clear of, Penang curry.
I'll do my very best. The thing is, I'm worried that I'm not going to know what anything is.
Yeah.
So I'm probably just going to order like a number and then whatever. It's like a lucky packet.
Yeah.
And so it might be good. It might be bad.
This came in a packet, actually.
It might be this crazy hot curry. In Zambia, speak of that place again, I did have this stuff that was very much like snot.
Okra.
Yeah, it is okra.
Okra is one of those things that if cooked right is great and if cooked wrong is actual snot.
I don't know.
It's disgusting.
I would love to taste it cooked correctly. Because
According to that film Interstellar, we're all destined to be like living off okra. I think that's like the big crop. Cropra.
Cropra. I would like to know. So have you had it then cooked properly?
Yeah.
And what is it meant to taste like?
It was just like some green thing. Okay. It was fine. It wasn't how it tasted. It was just that I've seen the consistency of bad okra.
Okay, all right.
And I've had the better okra too.
Because, I mean, this was slimy, but not slimy and satisfying.
Yeah. So how much of it did you have? Was it a case of you've been served this and it would be rude to turn your nose up at it? That's commendable.
In that particular travel, I was with a host family and they were really kind and really sweet.
Turning your nose up at snot, there's something funny about that. Yeah. From whence it came.
Well, I'm the sort of person who is Mr. Unadventurous. And so if I go to a foreign country, I will do my very best to not eat the speciality dishes of that country.
Come on, Kerr.
I will steer as clear as I can. I've been to Scotland. I did not eat haggis. And
Simon,
I will avoid it.
Simon ventured into haggis in Edinburgh.
I survived.
I went to Zambia and we were in rural Zambia. And basically, there's a lot of fish there. And there's a lot of, I didn't eat this, but they basically kind of open the fish up and then just dry it on the side of the road.
Bokoms.
And I just avoided that as hard as I could. But right at the end of the trip, we were invited to someone's house. And as we walked in, I could just smell that it was like fish. And I was reminded of this story when I saw my friend Matt, who I was there with recently. And I had just remembered the fear of having to eat this thing and having to try it and trying to just eat rice and get around this basically like whole fish and like stew. Oh man, it freaks me out thinking of it. But what I'd forgotten is that we were sick for days after. It was like actually off. It wasn't like it was good fish.
Yeah.
It was off. I had completely forgotten that.
Are you sure you hadn't accidentally eaten Zambia's hottest fish?
But that just put me off. I will avoid foreign food as possible.
It's funny you said I had like the nicest fish I've ever had in Zambia.
Really?
I did. And I even at one stage had written down the name thinking, if I ever see this again on a menu, I must get this.
Wow.
So you obviously said bad luck.
Very bad luck.
Are you going to have to ask me this when I get back? But I'm quite keen to try some of the more like crunchy insect stuff that is available in Thailand.
How are my friends with you?
I wouldn't normally, but ever since, because my initial thinking around that was, that sounds awful. I do not want to go there. Yeah. And then the more I thought about it, like, but this is something that they eat and they don't find it disgusting, or at least I'm guessing the majority of their population doesn't find it disgusting, otherwise they wouldn't eat it.
Mm.
And so I thought, maybe I should.
But they
try.
Also eat really hot curries, and I thought I was fitting in and being cultural.
Mm.
Turns out I wasn't.
Maybe we need to start feeding Simon really hot curries just before he goes to build him up.
Build up his resistance. You're not got that much time. He's already there.
You're gonna have to email me some food. All right. Before we leave, let's look at this. Kate Amber Jennings. She said, "Just because the carton has cows in it, doesn't mean it is milk."
Now, that sounds like life advice.
It does.
Like one of those kind of could be written in amongst the clouds on a poster.
What do you think she had?
I have absolutely no idea. Other than, I guess they could have put cows on like an ice cream or, a box of plasters.
But at some stage,
some Vaseline.
While you're gulping down the box of plasters, you must go, this isn't milk.
This isn't milk. True. This isn't even in the same form as milk.
Well, it's just the same as, if you buy a tin of Dulux, you're not expecting a dog to come out of the tin.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you foiled her there. It's her own fault.
Annika Yago says, make sure that your taxi driver is not drunk and knows where the destination is before you get in the cab to get you to the place in a city where you have never been before. Driving circles through Kampala at midnight is not fun. So that's good. Make sure your taxi driver is not drunk. But it's going to be very hard to pull that breathalyzer test off the side of the wall and into the cab.
Yeah.
Gabriella van Hinsbergen writes, here's a fun tip if you go to France. Don't use public bathrooms. They're basically holes in the ground, look just about as hygienic, and bonus, there is nothing that resembles a flushing handle in sight. Look for bathrooms that have disability signs on them. At least you'll have something to sit on. Whoa. Has she been listening to?
She's been listening to our podcast. You love a disabled bathroom.
Yeah. And here's a tip on how to save money. If you're going to visit Italy, be a girl.
Okay. So some advice there that's useful and some that's completely useless.
I don't know. I'm going to go behind that blue door and see what I can do. Thank you very much for listening to our travel special. I hope you've enjoyed it.
I've got one last little bit for you.
Please tell me.
Again, it's related to Thailand.
That's very helpful.
There's a cultural misnomer that happens there where the people who are selling things that have certain words written on them don't necessarily understand what those words mean. They just know that this particular word sells well. So you have these really old sweet ladies come around to your table while you're eating or drinking with a little tray of trinkets attached to their bellies, kind of around the neck, and with these bangles. And these bangles say some of the most atrocious things you will ever read. Like you will not believe. Like the worst thing you could think, a bangle that somebody might wear on their wrist. It's worse than that. Obviously, can't say any of it on air. But just think about that, and think about the sweet little look on her face. She's just going, well, it's obviously like a novelty thing that people go there and buy these things. Yeah. So they've become successful. So these phrases work their way to the top. And this juxtaposition between these sweet old ladies with a big grin on their face and selling the most atrocious bangles. Check them out.
Sounds great. Thanks for listening.
Bon voyage.
Bye.
Bye.